Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, according to Holy Scripture, we have been in the last days. We are in the last days, in the end times, and have been so ever since Jesus laid down his life for us, rose again bodily, ascended to the Father, and sent his Spirit to build up his church through his word, his true witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Each generation of believers in Christ, starting in the first century and all the way throughout the centuries, have had to face and overcome, with the help of the Lord, the evil spirits of Antichrist, as made clear in the first epistle of John, the beloved disciple and apostle of Jesus. The book of Revelation, written also according to strong tradition by the Apostle John, has been a great comfort, especially to suffering and persecuted Christians. Revelation does warn against evildoers, but it proclaims the victory of the Lamb who was slain, who is yet living and reigning victorious as the shepherd of God's people, the one who conquers as the lion of the tribe of Judah. The opening words are the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to John. The revelation of Jesus involves repeating cycles of seven scenes of symbolic visions. Symbolic visions. Jesus gives these visions of Bible symbols to John, building on the Old Testament for completing the New Testament. We will reflect upon and apply to our lives the words of each of the eight verses in today's reading from Revelation. We are in the sixth of seven scenes. John writes, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." The vision John receives here builds on Matthew, Mark, and Luke recording Jesus saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." The first heaven and the first earth mainly involve what we can explore with our five senses. For example, what we can see with our eyes, helped by our telescopes and microscopes and so on. After already likely creating other heavens, usually invisible to us, with angels, archangels, cherubim, seraphim, and other glorious heavenly beings, God created this universe, the first heaven and the first earth, this present universe, with all its galaxies, is not eternal. The triune eternal God is its creator. This present universe will be destroyed. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more, writes John of Jesus' revelation to him. The sea in the ancient world was a common symbol for chaos, destruction, and evil. In the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no evil sea, no place for evil to hide, scheme, nor launch attacks against God's people. The revelation of Jesus, which God gave to John, builds on the vision the Lord gave to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Isaiah ends with these verses. "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, And from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. Isaiah and Revelation proclaim eternal life, godly names remaining, true worship of God in the new heavens and the new earth, but eternal death with undying worms, unquenchable fire, corrupting flesh for people guilty of high treason, defiantly practicing rebellion against God, against the Lord. Describing Jesus, the firstborn of the dead, Revelation reinforces Isaiah, Paul, and Matthew writing of our bodily resurrected Lord, ushering in the coming reality of the bodily resurrection of all people. On the right hand, for those being saved unto eternal life with God in the new heaven and the new earth, or on the left hand, for those perishing into everlasting torment with the devil and his unholy angels in the lake of unquenchable fire. John goes on in verse 2 of Revelation 21, "And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The New Jerusalem, the bride of the Lamb, symbolizes the Christian church, the church of God, past, present, and future. My son was married last month. It was a precious sight to see his bride coming down out of the church balcony to walk down the aisle, a bride adorned for her husband. Baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we Christians are called to be shaped into the church of God, the bride of Christ. Think of yourself with other true Christians together from all times and all places, being prepared as the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ, trusting in Christ, our bridegroom, day by day encourages us in being prepared for the full marriage feast of Christ with us, his bride, his church. Jesus in his revelation gives John the ability to hear. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" Dwelling place is the word in the Old Testament for tabernacle, tent. The tent of meeting designed by God represented the heavenly temple for the Israelites during the Exodus from Egypt, and following generations until Solomon was authorized by God to build the temple in Jerusalem. In his gospel, John writes of the dwelling place, describing God the Son made flesh. Jesus was dwelling among us, tabernacling through his tent, even the temple of his body, taking away our sin. In Christ, we are God's people. Jesus Christ is with us even now, always to the end of the age. The revelation of Jesus to John continues concerning God. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Now I ask you this morning, when, When does eternal life begin for believers in Jesus? When does eternal life begin for believers in Jesus? Now. Eternal life begins now for believers in Jesus. Daily dwelling in God's Word, our sorrow is now being turned into the joy of the Lord, the true joy that no one can take away from us. Remaining in Christ, we experience the beginning of the end of tears, death, mourning, crying, and pain, the passing away of former things. To be, of course, completed when we fall asleep in Christ, and fully realized when we awake with all other Christians as the fully formed bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, God's living temple. John continues, and he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." The Lamb of God, the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus, makes all things new. Jesus makes you and me new. Each day, crucified with Christ through holy baptism, we are being raised, being made new. His new creatures, daily rising in Christ, we take up our cross for the sake of Jesus, deny ourselves, and follow Him, inviting others beyond ourselves to follow our Lord. Jesus keeps speaking in the vision He gives to John. "Also," He said, "write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Revelation reinforces Paul, James, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, inspired by the Holy Spirit of Jesus, to write trustworthy and true words, completing the New Testament. John continues, and he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. It is finished," declared Jesus before laying down His life on His cross for us. Jesus has done it for us to receive His salvation fully when we die and rise, trusting in Christ alone. The beginning of Revelation introduces us to Jesus, symbolized as the Alpha and the Omega, the first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. From A to Z, Jesus is the source and purpose of our life, the author of all authority, worthy of writing His word daily on our hearts. Jesus goes on to say, "To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." Are you thirsty in spirit? Are you thirsty in spirit? Blessed are you, for you may already start drinking now. Drinking now from the spring of the water of life. Without payment, drink deeply from the living water, namely the Holy Spirit. Receive the free gift of eternal life, drinking from the spring of water of life, starting now and each day. The voice from the throne goes on to declare, "The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Because Jesus conquers Satan, sin, and selfishness for us, in Christ we conquer. Because Jesus is the victor over the devil, death, and destruction, In Christ, we are victorious. We become sons and daughters of the same Heavenly Father through the amazing, costly grace of God the Son, breathing His Holy Spirit into us daily through His Holy Word. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Here is the judgment of God's law. In this life, we need to hear both God's law and God's gospel. Instead of making a practice of sinning, hardening our hearts against the Holy Spirit, and suffering temporal and eternal consequences for our selfishness, let's receive God's gifts of daily repentance. In Christ Jesus alone, we can be daily redeemed, regenerated, renewed. The Good Shepherd can rescue us out of the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom of light. Cowardly, dreading, timid, in Christ we can become brave, courageous, valiant. Faithless, unbelieving, untrusting, in Christ we can become honorable, fragrant, purified. Murderers, complicit in taking the lives of people at every stage. In Christ, we can become protectors of life, promoters of responsible adoption, defenders of the defenseless. Sexually immoral, porn addicted, fornicating. In Christ, we can become sexually moral, temples of the Holy Spirit, glorifying God in our bodies. Sorcerers, drug abusing, lovers of the occult. In Christ, we can be converted to exercise God's gifts of true healing, work with good medicine, be lovers of the true light. Idolaters, self-image obsessed, worshipers of false gods. In Christ, we can learn daily to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. All liars, deceivers, false. In Christ, we can speak the truth in love, bearing witness to Jesus, the truth. What is the just judgment for those who never repent, who willfully, hard-heartedly, continually make a practice of sinning? Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Yet our portion can instead be in Christ, who gives us repentant, tender hearts for loving Him and our neighbor. Today, as the first heaven and earth are passing away, in Christ we see the new heaven and the new earth. Today, in Christ, we see ourselves as the bride of Christ, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Today, in Christ, we hear, "Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be any more mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." In Christ today we receive His word, "Behold, I make all things new." Today, in Christ, the words of Holy Scripture remain trustworthy and true. Today, in Christ, it is done. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Today, in Christ, to the thirsty, Jesus will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. Today, in Christ Jesus, we who conquer by His Spirit shall have this heritage. He will be our God, and we shall be children of the Heavenly Father. Amen.